there is nothing that we like more than helping to promote the stories of whistleblowers on this eponymously named show. It's important to all of us, and we spend a lot of time telling you about whistleblowers in national security, in international banking, and in finance, an area of equal importance, at least. And one in which we really don't talk is animal research. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. Augusta University in the U.S. state of Georgia is currently involved in a case marred by allegations of fraud, forgery, and a cover-up after a research monkey died 9 years ago. The university went to great lengths to keep the animal's death a secret. But there was a doctor working on the case who said that what the university was doing was wrong. He decided to blow the whistle, and he requested a hearing. The issue centered on this. Dr. Jay Hedgay's monkey, Ovechkin, died of cardiopulmonary arrest, the university says, his heart stopping due to repeated sedation because of a delay in a procedure being performed on him. Dr. Hegday said that was not true. The monkey died when a veterinarian gave him an apparent overdose of painkillers. He says the vet who killed Ovechkin was the same one who did the necropsy, or the animal autopsy. He added that that should raise some questions because the university would thus have had something to cover up. A local news outlet also found through the Freedom of Information Act that the university's claim to have sent samples of Ovechkin's brain to a private laboratory for testing also was not as it appeared. The university waited a full year before sending the sample. Dr. Hegde said no one had saved any of the brain samples when the monkey died, and he added that this was not a mistake. It was likely a cover-up. How does he know that? Because the purported brain sample was not only not from a macaque, which is what Ovechkin was, it was not from any monkey from Asia with short or no tails. Dr. Jay Hegday is with us today to help us work through this complicated case. Dr. Hegday, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start at the beginning. Tell us about the kind of work that you were doing at the university, and tell us what happened that caused you to go through your chain of command to make a complaint.
Yeah. First, let me start by saying I speak, everything I show say on the show is in my personal capacity as a whistleblower. I speak, these are my personal opinions. I speak solely for myself and not for my university or for it. Anybody
Absolutely.
Else. Having said that, I do brain research. We study how we see and how the brain compensates for parts that are missing, which happens in many of the visual impairments. And this was a study that was federally funded by the National Science Foundation. The monkey underwent in this case, Ovechkin underwent a routine procedure. This was January the 7th, 2014, more than 9 years ago. the animal woke up from the procedure. I was an eyewitness to the whole thing. The monkey woke up from the procedure, and because the procedure was invasive, the Augusta University veterinarian gave him a narcotic painkiller to ease the pain. And the monkey simply keeled over and died. And I and another witness from Montana State University, who happened to be witnessing, rushed in to help save the monkey, but it was all in vain. The monkey, we pronounced the monkey dead a short while later.
One of the things that struck me about your case was that as soon as you saw evidence of wrongdoing, you reported it. And almost immediately, you were retaliated against. Can you give us a timeline of what happened and walk us through your reporting? What were the responses that you received?
Right. So the animal died on the 7th of January, 2014. And it wasn't until 3 weeks later that I actually knew anything was amiss. On January the 27th, about 3 weeks later, I found out the monkey's death was not reported to the internal regulatory agency called IACUC. This is a federally mandated intramural regulatory agency. And I got worried because not having your paperwork straight is a big deal because it's a violation of the Animal Welfare Act. And I started following up. Then it emerged a whole series of cover-up, were evident, became evident to me. One is that I had asked for a blood test because it was clearly an overdose. And the one of the veterinarians said, oh, we didn't even do the blood test. And then she said, we received the blood test back, but we shredded the document. I didn't want to hear anything about shredding, et cetera, especially because these are legal documents. So I said, I want to see, because I'm the principal investigator of the grant, I'm entitled to these records. So I said, I want to see a surgical record, necropsy report, necropsy being animal autopsy report, et cetera. And initially they said, we're reticent to share that with you, lest it should fall in wrong hands. And said, what wrong hands? I'm the principal investigator. I'm the investigator of record. So eventually the veterinarians showed the necropsy report to me on February 24th, which was, more than 7 weeks later. And it was clearly falsified in the sense it both stated things that never happened, because I was also witness and a participant in the necropsy, because in my capacity as a brain expert, I was in charge of examining the brain. So I examined the animal, dead animal's brain, and it had turned into pulp because the animal had not gone through the usual preservation, brain preservation procedures that is necessary for one to take out and examine the brain. The entire brain without the entire animal's head and the rest of the carcass was sent to disposal.
I apologize for interrupting you. Because this is a federal contract, there's some oversight here. You would have to, or the university would have to have reported the event, the animal's death, to the National Science Foundation. Presumably, there would be an investigation. Isn't the university falsifying a document a criminal act?
It is very much a criminal act. In fact, there are multiple crimes, and this is one of them.
How long was it before you realized that this was becoming hostile toward you? The university, in the end, retaliated against you by terminating your grant with the National Science Foundation. How long after your whistleblowing did that happen, and what were the events that led up to it?
There were multiple retaliatory actions that the university took, which started almost immediately once I realized that the documents were doctored, and I told the people to get the documents straight. I don't want to be party to any of the doctoring of the documents, etc. And that started immediately. The veterinarian in charge canceled one of the procedures that was scheduled for another monkey named Crosby, who was also in my National Science Foundation funded procedure. In other words, this was a regularly approved procedure. They were letting other procedures of other investigators in comparable situations go through. They were stopping mine. Mm-hmm. And eventually, for no reason at all, for a completely made up reason, the veterinarians took Crosby off of protocol, meaning research came to complete standstill. So, and then the university said they required various modifications to my protocol. An animal protocol is an accepted set of procedures that I'm authorized to perform. And it is, it's a federally regulated process in which the internal regulatory body mentioned IACUC signed off on it, and it had signed off on it, and they went back on what they had approved, and they demanded changes to it. If I had accepted which, I would not be able to perform the grant research that I was funded to perform. So they put me in a bind where I was, forgive my French, I was screwed both ways, regardless of what I did. So I basically said, and you're not, so told the university, you're not requiring other researchers in comparable situations to do the same thing. In other words, they clearly were treating me differently, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so they eventually ended up about in the summer of 2015, about a year and a half later, they wrote to NSF saying they didn't, to this day, I'm not been accused of any wrongdoing. They basically said, this guy doesn't have his protocol in place, so cancel his grant.
Wow.
And I protested. I provided the various regulators, including NSF, NIH, and the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, which are all regulatory bodies in question, evidence of document tampering, et cetera. And they all looked the other way. And the most egregious were a couple of things where National Science Foundation said, we, by law, they repeatedly said this, that they contended that by law, they're required not to look into whistleblower complaints or complaints about animal welfare, which make no sense at all.
No sense at all. I have to ask you what may be a little bit of a naive question, but it seems to me that none of this would have happened if the other researcher, the researcher who had given the monkey an overdose, had said, my goodness, I did something terrible. It was an accident. I overdosed the monkey and he passed away. I'll fill out the form and we inform the government. None of this would have happened. Why wasn't that the case? Why not just be honest about it and say, I made a mistake?
Correct. And the short answer is, sometimes they say it's not the crime itself, but the cover up of the crime that gets you.
Exactly
the
point.
It was very much like that. They could have said that and it would have come to nothing because everybody makes mistakes. And in research, you try to minimize mistakes, but sometimes mistakes happen. And the thing is, if you really care about the animals, if you really care about the law, you make up for it and you do your darnest to make sure it doesn't happen again.
That's right.
None of that happened here. And so I don't know why the university didn't do the right thing, but my best informed guess is as follows. The university was already under the radar of animal rights activists for previous violations. And they had taken, there was a publicity, et cetera. So they clearly had a motive to not encumber additional publicity. And I think that that's my best guess as to why they wanted the whole thing to go away. And there was a clear pattern. They retaliated against me. When they didn't shut me up, they turned it a notch up. And so it basically, retaliation escalated and eventually ended up into their asking NSF for no reason at all to terminate my grant.
What was your longer-term experience with the university, or even in the broader research industry? Was the university's response to your whistleblowing in keeping with the way it normally did business? And if not, why do you think they went after you in the way that they did?
I think it was either they had to come clean with the facts, and they figured if they fessed up to something, it would raise more questions. That's my best guess. Mm-hmm. And so they just had to hunker down and stay with their original version. I'm sure they feared that it would raise more questions. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, the University Faculty Senate looked at it. They held a hearing under oath and everything. And the committee that heard my case unanimously ruled in my favor and asked the university president to take corrective actions, have it investigated by an external entity so that there's no conflict of interest, mm-hmm. et cetera. And the university president, with no explanation at all, simply said, I'm not going to take your recommendation.
We are speaking with Dr. Jay Hegde. He is a scientist and whistleblower from the University of Augusta on the issue of animal research. Please stay with us. We're going to take a short break and come right back. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with animal research whistleblower Dr. Jay Hegde. Dr. Hegde, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a few more specific questions about your case. I've read several affidavits that clearly and unequivocally show that you have told the truth from the beginning of this case. It seems to me that the university would just want to cut its losses by walking away from this. I've been in a similar situation where the aggressor made a settlement offer and then just quit. But that hasn't happened here. Can you speculate as to why that is?
Let me back up and say, I have an active whistleblower case under Georgia whistleblower statutes against the university and the Board of Regents. And there have been settlement talks, but I'm not allowed to go into the details of the settlement talks. But I can tell you that as a general matter, my position is I don't want the university or anybody else to throw money at me and expect me to hush up, because that hurts the animals. That hurts the cause of lawful compliance with the law, et cetera. So I want accountability, and I want us as a community and university learn from the experience to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And I've always, my position has been, I will not settle for anything other than that.
I'm also interested to know what the reaction has been among your colleagues. In any industry, but especially in the hard sciences, success is based on truth. Anything that is not based on verifiable facts ought not be considered. But again, that's not what happened here. Does the university's position on this case not do harm to its long-term prospects in this area of animal research? Isn't the university just hurting itself by continuing to fight this?
There is the rub, and that is, in this case, I think there's a shared fear on the part of a lot of people that they just want this to go away.
Right.
And by a lot of people, I mean, including government agencies. Some of the government agencies, like NSF and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, simply dropped the ball. They didn't follow it enough. But there was one agency that did not even, strictly speaking, turns out, have jurisdiction, an agency called OLA, Office of Laboratory Animal Welfare of our National Institutes of Health. And don't get me wrong, National Institutes of Health is a very upstanding organization, does great work, and by and large, their officials are highly principled and ethical. But OLA clearly acted, in my opinion, not just unethical way, but even criminally, helped criminal cover up of this, because they said, on the one hand, they said, we certify that the Augusta University did everything by the book, did not violate Animal Welfare Act in any way. And when push came to shove, when I pressed for detail, they said we don't even have jurisdiction in this case because it was the monkey was not covered by a National Institutes of Health grant, but the National Science Foundation grant. But at the same time, they were telling the Inspector General of the National Science Foundation that they were certifying that they've looked into this. There's nothing wrong here. There's nothing wrong. Just move on. And there's one person whose signature is on a lot of these certifications, Dr. Axel Wolf, last name spelled W-O-L-F-F. And I have no doubt in my mind that he knowingly engaged in misconduct as a government official to help the university cover it up. And that is significant because once they got this clean bill of health, so to speak, from OLA, the university could turn around and say, look, it's been looked at, there's nothing here, move on. And that's exactly what it ended up happening. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Augusta University was able to use the OLA certification to say that it's been looked at, there's nothing to see here, move on.
Right. One of the affidavits submitted in support of your position says that there were, quote, many other unethical, possibly illegal occurrences related to monkey welfare and the regulatory infrastructure at Augusta University, unquote. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Would you expect federal regulators to become involved in a situation like this?
I have complained to everybody, including Congress, FBI, Department of Justice, obviously OLA, NSF, etc. And I think one of the things that's happening is confirmation bias, because all other agencies either think this is old news or there's no problem here because they all think, OLA has already looked at it and decided there's nothing to it, and therefore we don't want to look at it either, which is precisely the problem, because animal research, not just at Augusta University, but in our country as a whole, works on an honor system where if something wrong, the regulated parties, namely the universities and the researchers, have the responsibility to report it properly to the government and take proposed corrective actions. And right now, the fact of the matter is, the system is very easy to game, which is not to say everybody cheats. Most people play by the rules. But if somebody, like in this case, what happened in this case, if somebody wants to cheat, cheating is ridiculously easy, because all you need to do is say to the government with a straight face that they looked at it, there's nothing here. And the government uses that, especially agencies like OLA, to certify, turn around and launder it and certify and say that there's nothing untoward happened here, which in turn the university can use to say, look, the government gave us a clean bill of health and therefore nothing must have happened. So in other words, it is kind of like a loop where all you need to get it started, all you need to do is have the cojones, so to speak, to lie to the government with a straight face. And that should not be acceptable in any realm, it is not acceptable to most researchers. And most of my researchers privately tell me, my fellow researchers tell me, that this is not right, it should be fixed.
How have investigators or regulators responded to this? This has been dragging on for 9 years now. Have you gotten any satisfaction?
No, not at all. Again, not me personally. I mean, I've been retaliated against. I would like to be made whole. Mm-hmm. But there's a larger problem here that this case is a poster child for, and that is it demonstrates that the government agency, such as OLAW, worked to defeat whistleblowing, mm-hmm. which is why whistleblowing in animal welfare is a special case where government agencies use government resources and power to actually launder the criminal activities and defeat whistleblowing. And that has to change. And so this is the larger point I want your audience to take from this, and that is quite beyond what happened to me personally. The regulatory process in animal research is not just dysfunctional, it's for all the reasons that I mentioned, it's badly rigged. So whereby most people are honest, but if you really wanna game the system, it's ridiculously easy to do so.
Dr. Jay Hegde, thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to our viewers for joining us as well. I'm reminded today of the words of the great author and futurist George Orwell. He said, "Intellectual honesty is a crime in any totalitarian country, but even in England, it is not exactly profitable to speak and write the truth. In England, such concepts as justice, liberty, and the objective truth are still believed in. They may be illusions, but they are very powerful illusions." That was true of England in the 1940s. It also appears to be true about Augusta, Georgia in 2023. I'm John Kiriakou, and this has been The Whistleblowers. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.